Good morning, it's Jeremy Deeds, Planning for Life, Life and Financial Planning Consultants from Helston in North Yorkshire. This is my market perspective for Monday the 16th of July 2012. Well, last week was a very mixed week on the markets. Really, investors just hanging around waiting for news from the Fed of more quantitative easing, and they waited in vain, and also waiting for confirmation that China growth is slowing, which they got, but in line with expectations. So let's look at regions. In the US, investors were beginning to get concerned that the forthcoming earnings season is going to disappoint because of the slowing global economy, and that had an impact on stock prices. Interestingly, weekly initial jobless claims in the US showed an unexpected and quite significant fall, although those were discounted by traders as being a one-off. The May trade balance narrowed, but we see this continuing decline in both imports and exports, a trend that's been on the cards since May 2010. And of course it is the FO, Federal Open Market Committee minutes that disappointed, with the Fed confirming that they will take action if appropriate, if being the operative word, which most commentators saw as being no change for the moment. On the consumer side of the US, consumer sentiment slipped, but consumer credit grew quite strongly again. Across in Europe, it's a weak week on the markets, not really helped by the ECB's monthly bulletin, confirming they see the risks as still being more on the downside, and a second quarter contraction in Europe is now seen as a very probable event. Bond yields continue to remain high in Spain and Italy. Interestingly, EU industrial production bounced by over 0.5%, which is quite good news, but not enough really to discount all the other news around. And here in England, of course, Bank of England announced its major new lending programme to stimulate the economy, which had an impact on sterling, if nothing else. Across in Asia Pacific, Bank of Japan met and left policy unchanged as expected. The shock though was the Bank of Korea, which unexpectedly, totally unexpectedly, dropped rates by 0.25%. And that of course had an impact on the market, sending them all down, feeling that the news is even worse than they had anticipated. Across in China, the key China data of the month was 2Q GDP, which came in at 7.6%. Now that was in line with expectations, and markets were greatly relieved by that, but doesn't hide the fact that growth has been slowing in China since the start of 2010. China inflation, however, continues to decline, which is good. The trade surplus continues to rise, and industrial output and retail sales still remain strong. Looking across at other indicators, oil was very volatile, reacting firstly to the Norwegian oil workers' dispute, and then to expectations, often disappointed, of global growth and stimulus packages. US Treasury yields also very volatile, reacting to news and expectations, ending the week marginally down. And currencies, like oil and treasuries, were also very mixed, reacting to news and expectations. However, sterling strengthened against the euro, and it's now at its strongest since November 2008, and that's great if you're going across to Europe for the holidays. And that's really because sterling continues to gain safe haven status. Looking at the markets last week, Japan was down 2%, as was the Far East. Europe up 1%, UK up 0.5%, US virtually unchanged, oil up 3% and gold unchanged. Oil standing now at $87 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate. Bottom line, well, in the US the recovery continues but with very modest momentum, and although the Fed does have room to stimulate, the consensus seems to be that further policy easing won't really help and could just stimulate inflation down the road. Elsewhere, evidence of a slowing global economy continues to mount. This week is quite weak for data, but keep an eye on the UK inflation, jobs and retail sales figures in the middle of the week. That's it from me. Please don't take this as advice. Consult your financial consultants or advisors before taking any action. Planning for Life is authorised and regulated by the Financial Services Authority. Our number is 44811.